Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, we're going to get started here on Torah portion number 14. How exciting is this? We're moving right along. For those of you who don't know, welcome short notice. Pastor sent out a text today, so we're going to be in prayer of him and his family. We're expecting a baby girl soon. So they induced labor. So give y'all up to date. So probably tonight in the morning, we'll have a Salah.
Selah.
So, anyway, just keep them in our prayers, and we're going to get started here. In Torah portion 14, Vayera, in Hebrew for "and I appeared," and we had this, so we had one similar to this, Vayera, sounds the same, but spelled differently, and it was, and he appeared. So you see two different meanings in this word, but it sounds just alike, so it is very good. And then the Torah portion is in Exodus chapter 6, starting at verse 2 through 9:35. A little bit of reading there. And the Haftorah is Ezekiel 28:25 through 29:21. So that's another very good reading spot right there. I read that this morning in the Haftorah. So If you don't understand it, you know what you do? You read it again. And if you don't understand it, you read it again. And you know, read it. You might take it three or four times. I remember when I first started coming in and asked to do this, a lot of the stuff I read, I did not understand it. And sometimes there's still something I still don't understand, but that don't mean we don't observe the Passover. We just read it. And you know, let it minister to you. Even though you're not getting it, trust me, it's ministering to the soul. And you need it that as much as I need it. And in this week's Torah portion, the top is in the Porsche, Elohim reveals himself to Moshe. And we see that right off the bat. And I can think about a time in my life, or maybe you can think about a time in your life when he appeared unto you in your way. You know. You know when you had that encounter. I don't know. But you can best believe when he comes to you, you know. He will get your attention. I know me when I sit down and or a lot of times when I'm lying down, my wife said, "Bill, I couldn't sleep because I'm hearing stuff. I'm listening. I'm trying to." Sometime before, I went back and I read when Brother Chad, we talked about it the other day, and I was reading Ezekiel and in Revelations already. And don't you know, this Haftorah goes into Ezekiel and Revelations? Because he asked me the other day, he said, you know, we was kind of on the subject of, man, what are we going to talk about for Wednesday night? I said, well, you don't find something to talk about, and he had asked me, well, you want to take it? I said, no, I ain't taking Wednesday. So, but I when I went in the bathroom and shower, and I was saying, Lord, you know, what could I speak on? And that morning, that night, I woke up early in the morning, I couldn't sleep, woke up well before time to go to work, and went back and read some stuff in Ezekiel and in Revelation. And then when I pulled this up, man, what do you know? You'd be on the same page if you're listening. He's going to reveal himself to you in way that, look, he's going to test your character. Moshe, he tested his character. You're going to be tested. Not everybody's going to react the same. It's nothing to be fearful about, because what he said, I said last week or week before, my sheep hear my voice. So pay attention to what he said. Elohim reveals himself to Moshe, employing the four expressions of redemption. He promises to take the children of Israel from Egypt, deliver them, this is the four promises, take them out, the children of Israel from Egypt, deliver them from their enslavement, redeem them, and acquire them as his own chosen people at Mount Sinai. He will then bring them to the land he promised to the patriarchs, as their eternal heritage. And you know, he made promises well before we got to this. He made this with Abraham a long time ago. Huh? Patriarch. That's what I didn't say that? Oh, okay. I'm glad you're listening. Moshe and Aaron repeatedly come before Pharaoh to demand in the name of Yehovah, let my people go. And we're going to get to that. So that they may serve me in the wilderness. Pharaoh repeatedly refuses. Aharon's staff turns into a snake and swallowed the magic sticks of the Egyptian sorcerers. Let me tell you something. When you read these first three little encounters, these three little plagues, or whatever you want to call them, when he drove the stick down, and the scripture said the Egyptian did the same with their sorcery and their magic. It's amazing. I've never seen that done before in my life, but that would amaze me today. Somebody throw a stick down and becomes a serpent. Or turn water into blood. The scripture said they did that with their enchantment. So everybody said, what kind of magic thing that's out there that we don't know about, and what we like to know today as black magic. That stuff's real. They did it back then. What makes you think they're more enhanced and more advanced today? You got to be careful out there. Jehovah then sends a series of plagues upon the Egyptian. The waters of the Nile turn to blood. Swarms of frog overrun the land. I would have died right there. I'm sorry. I'm tough only when I have to be. That's all it is. Frogs is not one of my gifts. I'm sorry. So, lice infest all men and beasts. Yesterday when I was reading this, I had a little encounter with one of my co-workers. Because right at the dock, yesterday had gnats. And gnats is a form of a lice. They competitive. And the guy said, what? Why are you laughing? Well, I mean, let me tell you. Because when you pull up, it pulls up the gnats and the lice, they're in the same category. Okay. They were all talking like, man, I don't know where these gnats come from. I mean, why, what they created for? And this, I said, well, I told them one thing, they're created for a purpose. I can tell you that. Because I just read the scripture that morning. So this morning, I texted a guy, his name is Kenny. And because we had a little talk throughout the day. But I wanted to show him, tell him on this particular subject about gnats. So I went to the scripture and I pulled it up. When Yehovah struck the dust, he told Aaron, told Moshe, strike the dust and become gnats or lice, whatever your translation says. And they were grievous upon the land. I sent him that. I said, I would have told you this yesterday had you had asked me. But I want to know you, they created for a purpose. So he only takes back, he says, Roger. Now he knows. Because like I said, we had some encounters throughout the day. But nothing's out of coincidence. Or where they come from, they were created for a purpose, I promise you. Hordes of wild animals invade the cities. A pestilence kills the domestic animals. Painful boils afflict the Egyptians. I mean, you know, when we got to that part, the scripture said they couldn't stand before Moshe. Wow. Still, for the seventh plague, fire and ice combined to descend from the sky as a devastating hail. Still, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the children of Israel go, as Elohim had said to Moshe. Now, we read that, and he's like, man, why would God do the harden his heart? Because it was for a reason. And it's not so much hardened to where he would be disobedient. He was already disobedient. And they had so many gods back then in the time of Egypt, so he was going to teach him a lesson. And no different than us today, when you get into the book of Revelation, he tried to teach you, try to teach people a lesson. Give them a chance. But the scripture said they will not repent because of the hail and the thing that's going on. He said they will curse God. You can find these comparisons. This third portion has a similar name to the previous portion from Bereshit, Genesis 18 through 22. However, that portion is called, and he appeared. It's when he appeared to Abraham. While this one is called, and I appeared, which is the phrase Va'era, which comes from the root verb Ra'ah, strong 7200, which means to look, which means to see, look, observe, pay close attention, consider, appeal, and provide. We're going to need all these things, what I just read. Because a lot of things you're going to see, you're going to look at, we're going to need him as our provider in days to come, in time to come. We better pay close attention to what's going on. I told my wife a little while ago before I come here, I flipped the TV on and to see the news. And we couldn't catch the local news, but it was Channel 5 news. And it's called News 4 and 5, something like that, on Channel 5 station. So if you can go look it up, what I'm talking about. Now the technology, it's amazing. This thing that they're coming out with. Yeah, I was telling my wife, they have these cars that they're coming out with that you can call in all your groceries from Walmart and the car will come and bring it you your groceries. It'll drive through the traffic, through the town, without no one, and bring you groceries. Then there's your shopping baskets. That they, while you're going around, you can do your checking out, your scale, you can, there's a scale on them, you can weigh your fruit and vegetables. You don't even need the cashier no more. Pay for it right there on your basket. And then what really caught my attention was about this size right here of the wall right there with the baptistry. It's a hologram deal. It looks like a real person that's standing inside the deal right there. And you can go to it and the person will come up, whoever comes on there, and they're dressed in clothes, and they'll show you fashions. And they'll talk to you. Do you like what I'm wearing? Do you think this is suitable for you? And if so, if it looks good, we'll go get it for you. You can go keep on shopping. Technology is increasing. It's amazing. And the person that's talking in the looks like a real person. Deception. It's coming. And put it this way. It's here. We have to pay attention. Moshe had to pay attention. And Haran had to pay attention, especially to the instructions that were given to them. So we can see that Moshe tried to get out of it. He tried to make some excuse like, I'm a man of uncircumcised lips. Okay. Yehovah deals with that. This verb is written in the Nip-Hill passive tense and therefore is understood as rendering to appear, present oneself, to be seen, to be visible. It is clear that while Yehovah literally made himself visible to Abraham, he was making himself known to the entire nation. And he would do this by making his truth known to Moshe, the Torah, as a shadow picture of him physically making himself visible before his people and revealed through the life, death, and resurrection of Messiah, which was our greatest example. And we should never forget all that, because you remember the reason why we're here, because the price was paid for you and I. And for me. But more for all of us that's here tonight. And Elohim spoke to Moshe, his favorite verse of Wednesday night, and said to him, I am Yehovah. I tried to give him the mic tonight. I said, bro, you were so much on fire there. Now you can have it tonight. You can continue going. He said, no, that's okay. I am Yehovah. What are such powerful words. Let's look at that. I don't know if we'll get down to where I want to go, but we're going to see. After some intense frustration from being obedient, despite some attempts at excusing his role and seeing things getting seemingly worse since he started doing what he was told to, Moshe received a very profound truth, which is one that we are all to receive and learn, and that is the words, I am Yehovah. And I like what he told Moshe. He said, I'm going to be with you. Like the scripture says, when Yehovah was with Joseph. Never you see any of our patriarchs before that they did things alone. Yehovah was always with them. And through that, they seen you, as we read through the Torah, we see the glimpses of our future king, Yeshua, Messiah, coming. Because the scripture, because he even said his own word, if you believe Moshe's writings, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. So if you don't believe his writings, how are you going to believe my words? These words ought to be sufficient to bring confidence, peace, and the courage in order to face whatever may come to any true believer, knowing that trusting in the great I am. There's nothing more confident to a child when they're walking alongside their daddy. I know that. I mean, any kid. I got mom and dad with me. What are you fearing? Well, you say, as grown-ups, as parents, we get older, what are we to fear? He's with you. unless there's a but somewhere. But you have nothing to fear, because he teaches his disciples, don't fear. I'm in the boat with you. What are you fearing? He's taking a nap. But they're fearing. But he tells them, what you fearful about? I'm with you. And this is what Yehovah is trying to encourage Moshe, and I'm with you. Because like I said a while back, the only thing he knew was last time he left Egypt, Pharaoh wanted to kill him. So he was afraid. Just like Yaakov was afraid of Esau. So look, there's some Esau's out there. There's some Pharaohs out there. But we're not to fear. We're his people. Amen. Scripture says we are the sheep of his pasture. The 10 words or 10 commandments begin with, I am Yehovah. Today I went back and I said, you know what? I know it says that. Even though I got it, I'm going to go read it for myself. And you know when I open up the Exodus chapter 20, you know what it says? I am Yehovah. You shall have no other gods before me. That's exactly what it says. Our walk of obedience to his commands can only begin with our true recognition of who he is, and that is Yehovah, who is the one who has redeemed us and has brought us out of Mitzrayim and slavery and bondage to sin, setting us free from lawlessness. Trust me, he didn't take them out of Egypt or Mitzrayim and bring them across the wilderness, across the desert, to bring them to the mountain where they had to serve him and not give them no instructions. Along the way, they had instructions. What he told, I've never seen this until I started coming here. I've never seen that all my life. When you come out of Mitzrayim, you're going to roll out in fives, in formation, in order. I've never read that. Could they come out in six? No. They couldn't come out in ten. They had to come out in formation. They had to pay attention to what was being said to Moshe. The one that's leading us here, I pay attention when he's speaking. I write down, because I never know when I'm going to need it in days to come. Why? Because it sets you free from lawlessness. He don't want you running around like a bunch of couillons. If that's a good word. we all used that before. Yeah. Why? Because he's a God of order. Sometimes, you're sitting here and it's so fun when you go through these slides and you sit there and you let the word just minister. I mean, it'll bless you. To follow the Torah without recognizing the one, this is so important. To follow the Torah without recognizing the one who has delivered you from enslavement is simply legalism with an attempt to follow a letter only while disregarding the author of the letter. If he writes... I like when you go to Jeremiah, and the potter doesn't say to the clay, he says, you're on the wheel. And the potter doesn't say to the clay, why you made me this way? We don't tell him how we want or what we want. He instructs us. He gives us instructions, a set of rules. And some people, look, they don't like rules. Because they want, flesh wants what flesh wants. And that's what it is. That's what the bottom line. That's who you battle with. That's what the scripture says. We're all blaming on the devil. The devil made me do. No, it's your flesh. Because we're not here children anymore. We're grown ups. We're adults. We know right from wrong. We know what the scripture says. Because we get it weekday, weekend, during the week, at your house, when you wake up, when you lie down. The scripture says for you to meditate upon them. So to come here tonight would be without. I got no excuse. We should all be without excuse. The scripture says you're gonna, when we stand before him, we're gonna be blameless. What you gonna tell him? I didn't know. What they say about the little saying they got? Ignorance is something about the law. How it says today, and there's no excuse for ignorance to the law. You should know. I'm a fisherman. If I go fishing, I should know what the rule says, or at least have a rule book with me. That's the point I'm trying to make. So there's no, like I said, don't be a couillon. While a fisher comes alongside of you, and you got six red fish, and you only go to have five, what's going to be your excuse? I caught the last two at a time. What you going to tell So I could, really? This is what he's telling. He said, who's the author here? Yeah, who's the author? We know, he gave instructions to Moshe. But everybody there, I ain't following Moshe. Well, you better. Because he's getting his instructions from Yehovah. And he's putting it on paper for us to go back and research, to look at. Because it's to do what? It's to help you. He said, I know the plans I have for you. And not to hurt you, they're to help you. To give you expecting hope on a future. And not only for you, for your seed after you. What it says in Deuteronomy. Here we go. In verse 3, and I appeared to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov as El Shaddai. And by my name, Yehovah, was I not known to them. Now we see this. I went over that. The pastor shared this. Look, I didn't get these slides till later on the scene, but that's no excuse because I've been reading on this a couple times during the week. But he said he appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, as El Shaddai. Now when I didn't know, I told my wife, it was so funny because you're going to have the slide on that. But I went and did my own slide anyway, and it's H7706. El Shaddai is the Almighty, or God Almighty, or the Almighty God. That's what he is, not his name. But he said, I appeared to them as El Shaddai. But why he didn't tell them Yehovah? That's Yehovah's thing. I don't know why he didn't do that. I can't answer that. He'll answer it maybe that day. But now he's going to give it to us because we're going to be made known through Moshe, his name. Yehovah was making it clear that just as he made himself known to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, so he was now making himself known to the nation of Israel. They all knew the name of Yehovah. Now, look, I'm going to read the slide that I have. I'm using the information what we have. Because when you go look this stuff up, what is his name? That's going to be, it goes this way, it goes this way, it goes this way, it goes this way. So, you know, I'm going to stick with what we've been handing down to us and the best we can. And I'm going to say Yehovah. And I'm not going to argue with nobody about it. Because what we have is what we have. And I'm going to trust what we have. In Bereshit 12:8, and from there he moved to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the east and I on the west, Bethel on the west and I on the east, and he built there a sort of place to Yehovah and called on the name of Yehovah. So apparently they knew him. Now, we don't see that until Moshe's time, because you see other different characters about Yehovah. That El Shaddai, that's a character name. And they tell you what, to be the Almighty, he is the Almighty. That's what he is. When he created everything from nothing, I'd say he's the Almighty. In Genesis 13, Bereshit 13:4, to the place of the slaughter place where which he had made there at first, and Abraham called on the name of Yehovah. And if they did it, that's examples for us today that we should call upon him. Amen. We have access through the one who paid the price for us. In Bereshit 17:1, and it came to be when Abram was 99 years old that Yehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be perfect. Amen. I know we had all these, but this is just all good stuff in there, good to recap. In Bereshit 26:25, and he built a slaughter place there and called on the name of Yehovah, and he pitched his tent there, and the servant of Yitzhak dug a well there. In Bereshit, Genesis 13, and see, Yehovah stood above it. This is the dream. And said, I am Yehovah, Elohim of Abraham, your father, and the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the land on which you are lying, I give it to you and to your seed. Boy, I tell you what, I'm so glad I'm part of that seed. I might not be native born. I might not be pure blood, but when you graft it into the vine, you become what he is. I don't know how anybody say, well, we can be, we different. I'm this, I'm that. When you're in the divine, you eat what he eats. You like what he like, and that's how the whole story. And you don't like what he don't like. You can't be grafted in the vine and the vine is giving you living water and you don't want it. Really, you have no choice. Or what he said, the pruner. Remember what happens to the pruner? He'll come in. The gardener? I'm sorry, not the pruner, the gardener. The gardener will come and snip. And you'll be pruned. And boy, I tell you what, that's going to be terrible. El Shaddai, El Almighty, which means the mighty one who is almighty. That's just cut and dry. That's who he is. He's Almighty El. He is the all-sufficient one, emphasizing his total sufficiency as our nourisher and protector, and in whom there is complete sufficiency. When you have him, it's all you need. Without him, it's a travesty. But when you have him, when you're in the boat with him, oh boy. He's your nourisher. He's your protector. It's his job, by the way. If he is the shepherd and we are the sheep, it's his job. He don't discriminate. Oh, I'm protecting y'all today. No. The scripture says he leads you beside still waters. He brings you where the grass is green. He's taking care of you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And we got to hear his voice when he speaks. Man, I tell you. This was so short notice when I got these things, but I tell you what, it blessed me so much. Boy, if I get down here, boy, we're going to be moving along. Whew. The Hebrew word Shaddai, strong 7706, means the Almighty. There it is again. So I went there and I wrote it down ahead of time, because I didn't know path they had in there. When I got to that, it caught my attention. I said, you know what, let me just put it in there in my notes. But it's already in here for me. So it's still good for in case technology decides to go haywire, I got it on pen and paper. You can't go wrong with pen and paper. The Almighty, and is used as a compound title used for Elohim, and by declaring this to Israel, Yehovah was making it very clear that he is all powerful and there was no one else who Israel would need. Now we see, we had it Wednesday, and I was already studying, looking at it. We see there's a time in Israel's life, when you go to 1 Samuel, where Chad pointed it out, that we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. Paul, what a travesty. You had Samuel as your leader, and you had Yehovah as your protector, as your provider. You had all you needed, but the scripture says they didn't listen. That's where we come in sometimes. He didn't listen. And they still wanted a king. And he told them, they're going to take your sons. You're going to take your daughters. You're going to take the best of your cattle and the best of your sheep. You're going to take all your best stuff and use it for his glory. And that's what the world does today. It wants to use it for their glory. You know why? Because the scripture says, not what Scott says, the scripture says the world loves its own. And if you allow it, you get caught up in the world and it'll use you. It will abuse you. Until you be like the prodigal son, you wake up and you come to your senses and you feel like you're sleeping with the pigs. This is the world system. That's what it'll do to you. It'll enslave you. And we see that in Mishraim. As long as Joseph was around, things was good. But the minute Joseph died, the scripture said there rose up a new Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And he said, let us act wisely with them. Let's trick them. I don't use my words. Let's trick them. To enslave them. And that's what the world wants to do. Yahweh wants you free. And we're going to get to that. I'm hoping we get to that tonight. The Hebrew word that Shaddai comes from is Shaddad, strong 7703, which means to deal violently with. Oh. despoil, devastate, completely destroy. And so here we can clearly see the context of this clear message being given to Israel. This is what Pharaoh wanted to do. Despoil, devastate, completely destroy. It was said, you know, when you read some extra biblical text, that he told them, you don't get no brick without straw. Make sure you make your quota. I'm telling you right now, if you don't make your quota, this is what you're doing. According to some of these extra biblical texts, slowing down, baby, that they would take the babies and use them in place of the bricks to make the quota. How terrible is that? This is what Mishraim represents, bondage. It wants to keep you in bondage, keep you enslaved. That's what the enemy wants, to keep you enslaved, keep you in bondage. And what else? Another word for that is Babylon. Babylon is its mistress. Because Babylon is the false system that encourages Mishraim, that's built in with it to deceive you if we're not paying attention. That's what Babylon represents. Babylon. The all-powerful one was calling Israel to perfection. And we know that failure to heed his command will result being gathered with the lost who shall receive his wrath of destruction. Whereas those who respond to the call of the Almighty One and walk in his ways can have the full assurance of the promises contained in the covenant of promise which we are brought near by the blood of Messiah. You're never going to go through the Torah without seeing Messiah. And when you get to Messiah, time you read all that in the prophets and the Tanakh and the Psalms, and when you get to Messiah, he's going to take you right back to the beginning. That's what's so amazing. And before, we couldn't see all that. Now, every time you go through it, I went through that path, it's beautiful. Because that's what it is. Yehovah appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov as El Shaddai, as the one who has the complete power to deal violently with and destroy, yet he was known to them as Yehovah, that is, the I Am who causes us to be. The name, the above name, is also known as the Tetragrammaton, four letters, and the four Hebrew letters that are translated as YHVH form the true scripture name of the Almighty El. And look, there is big debate about them. I'm telling you, you can go look for yourself. Translated as Father Yehovah. And you know what? That's good enough for me. The name has been pronounced in various ways. And this is true too. As I was looking to it, most commonly as Yahweh, that is true, because you'll find a lot like that, or Yahweh, whereas some has used the pronunciation of Yahweh, Yahuwah, or Yehovah, or Yehovah. The pronunciation of Jehovah was unknown until 1520, when it was introduced by Gatanus and was greatly contested, and there was no English letter J in the existence up until that point. And that's true, because there was no letter J in the English alphabet. So how they come up with these names? Well, it came along in the 1520, but in the beginning it was not so. So, and Yeshua said scripture cannot be broken. So come on now. Chapter 3. Now we look at that, and we're going to read through it anyway, because it's very good. We need it. The burning bush, Elohim's name, Yehovah. And Moshe was shepherding the flock of Yitro. And you can see Yitro right here. I know if you see it in green up there. The yellow ground. I was kind of looking at it. It does have that overflow in his name. His father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the rivers and came to Horeb, the mountain of Elohim. And the messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked and saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moshe said, "Let me turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." And Yehovah saw that he turned aside to see, and Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. I tell you, you walking outside, you see a light or something out there, you hear your name being called. Oh boy, you talk about getting spaghetti legs, I guarantee you. And he said, here I am. But he knew that voice that called his name, here I am. And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground. Now, I told you about that, the reason why he told him that. Because why? Moshe was from what? The Levitical priest. And we know later on, I didn't see this before until recently, because when the priest went into the temple, there was no shoes on his feet. Let's make that clear. There was no shoes. And there was no rope to pull him out either. But that's what religion teaches. I've heard that. But that doesn't make it the truth. Then you're able to go read it for yourself. That's when you find the truth. But take your shoes off, Moshe, because the place you are standing is set apart ground. And he said, I am Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Yitzhak, and the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look at Elohim. And Yehovah said, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people who are in Mizraim, and have heard their cry because of their slave drivers, for I know their sorrow. Yehovah knows what you're going through. Trust me. There's nothing hid from his sight. And I can only imagine sometimes in today's time. I can't speak of back then, but I can speak today's time. When he looked down from his place where he is almighty, and he wonder what he sees when he looks here on his creation. And I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Mishrites, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land full of milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now, that's a lot of ites. It's just funny. And now see, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Mishrite oppressed them. You think Yahweh knows? Trust me, he knows what's happening. He's been knowing this. He told Abraham 400 years. He said, look, you're going to be enslaved. So this was no surprise that he's saying this. He knew this was coming. He said, but I'm going to send a deliverer. I'm going to raise up one from among your people. It's going to lead my people out. But we got to pay attention. No different than we have one today. And we got the warning. Because we read it. We read it every Saturday morning. So I'm going to raise up a prophet from your people. Out of the midst of your brothers. And I'm going to put my words in his mouth. And he's going to speak it all I command him. And it's going to be the man who does not listen to my word, which he speaks in my name. He said, I'm going to require it of him. Require it of him. We hear it so much, you sort of just ring a bell when you hear it. And Moshe said to Elohim, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Mizraim? And this is where he gets a little squirrely. We read it back because he tries to use the excuse, well, I don't speak well and I got uncircumcised lips. And we do that today. We try to bargain with Yehovah. You know, we try to plead within my case. And he said, because I am with you. And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mizraim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your father have sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? That's a good question. I mean, what do you want me to say? You want to send me down there? What do you want me to tell them? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And of course, at the Hebrew text, you can read, the Ia being derived from Haya, which means to be exist. He's the all existing. He's always been. Nobody created him. He's always was. That's what he's saying. I am. And Elohim said further to Moshe, thus you are to say to the children of Israel, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Yaakov have sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance to all generations. You think that's important? We ought to remember his name. Especially the one who, look, if somebody came tonight and paid all your debt, you would never forget his name. Look, I'm bad with you. I go on a job, the man tell me his name, I'm talking to him. He tell me his name, I forget him just in a sentence. But let him pay my debt, I'll hug him and kiss him. More or less never forget his name. That's what he tell you. Yahweh, look, this is my name forever. This is what we got. We got to remember him. And we just had to want names, how so important that was. I had to go back and look at these. I'm sorry. And God said to Moshe, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you, or to you. Yeah, it's, so you're just repeating the scripture. But I thought it was neat, Pastor, put that in them couple slides in there like that. We are commanded to know Elohim's name. He just said that. You're to know my name throughout generations. So, you know, we really wish that they would have passed this on from generation to generation. We wouldn't be in such an argument like the Jews are today. I find was this or that if they were just obeyed. We all commended Elohim's name, the Yod, Hey, the Vav, or the and the Hey. And some people, where the argument gets is right here with the Y, W-A-W. That's what the whole argument when you look at it. So y'all look at it for yourself. In Isaiah 52:6, therefore my people shall know my name in that day. For I am the one who is speaking. See, it is I. But I can promise you, when he's speaking, you know. Elohim's name hidden and revealed. By all means today, I got to get up with Pastor on this. Because I really would have liked, I don't know where to go to learn the Hebrew. I guess it's something you got to go by, or teaching. You got to go to school for this. So, I know a couple of the word, but this is what it says when you read it. And God said moreover to Moshe, thus shall you say to the people of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial mentioned name to all generations. So, but because we don't know the language, we're doing our best to follow along. But this is what that's saying. That it really is beautiful if you can learn it. You know, I sing to myself a lot, but when I'm in, my wife can tell you, I play Hebrew music a lot. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. See all the fine writing. That's what he talked about. Not one jot or one tittle. That's all that fine writing shall pass from the Torah. Yehovah, and you have your little halom and the kamatz and the sheaves. Hey, look, I wish I can teach more on this because when you don't know, it's hard to teach when you really don't know because of the culture, but it really is good stuff. You can go, I'll tell you what, the best thing to do is go look at all the videos. Go spend time and look at video. Some of the stuff makes sense, some of the stuff, but it really is good. It's for your learning. Yehovah is his name forever. And it is the name by which he is to be remembered from generation to generation. That is very simple and easy enough for a child to understand. Yet sadly, we recognize how it has been forgotten, or rather hidden, or suppressed under the delusion of lawless tradition and dogmas of man. And that's exactly what has happened over time. Yehovah is the name of the Elohim of their fathers, which Moshe was to tell the Israelites. Yehovah means he, the I am, is the one who causes me to be. I mean, without him, just think about it. Where would you be? He causes us to be. Like I said, when you go to Jeremiah, he said, you go on the potter's house and you're on the wheel, he causes you to be what he wants you to be. And it's for a purpose. It's for his purpose, not for us to question. No matter, you can be the shiniest cup or you can be the dullest looking cup. But he made you for a purpose, and it's for his purpose. This is very powerful, for every time you call on the name of Yehovah, you are declaring who it is that causes you to be. You are declaring from your lips the one who gives you life, and who made you, and who gives you your very existence. And we have to declare his name, giving praise to the great I am who causes us to be. And that's just the bottom line. He owns you. He's your creator. Just like you own that vehicle outside. It's your vehicle. Nobody can come take away from it unless you don't pay the note. No. Let's not get twisted here. Are you his? And what Yeshua said, and I said a while ago, you're in his hand. And no one can take you out of his hand. No one can pluck you out of his hand. Only you can sever yourself from him. Amen. When you disregard his Torah, his teaching, his what he likes, what he doesn't like, when you push it aside, and when you do what you want to do, when you take from the tree of knowledge of good and evil because it looks good, because you just want to taste it, that's when it becomes trouble to us. But he causes us to be. Without him, we're nothing. Amen. The scripture said we're like the flowers that fade away, like grass just withers in the wind. Without him, you don't exist. So our pastor made a statement. Hey, I sing the song, God's not dead, no, he's alive. If he, God can die, we all in trouble. Man, I tell you. In the Ten Commandments, as we know it, or rather better expressed, as the 10 words of Yehovah, which were spoken to the Israelites from Mount Sinai, and then written down by the finger of Elohim on the two tablets of stone, the third commandment is as follows. Exodus Shemot 27, you do not bring the name of Yehovah, your Elohim, to naught. For Yehovah does not leave the one unpunished who brings his name to naught. I tell you what, a lot of people are in trouble. You know, because we was taught that you don't say the God's name with a D on it, attached to it. It's anything that you say, you using his name. That's what it means when you're slandering him. And I don't know if we're going to get to it, but that's, we're going to see that in Yeshua. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to try my best. But when you slander, when you say things that he's doing but he's really not doing, you're taking his name to naught. That's what it means. When you're trying to belittle him, the one who created you, be like me trying to take over my company, the guys I work for, try to belittle them. That's taking the name to naught. And what did he say? You're not to be left unpunished. If you come to your senses, maybe you can beg for forgiveness. The world does. Not just us in here. The whole world. Because a lot of them are bringing his name to naught. His name is mentioned a little under 6,827 times in the Tanakh. And yet they've managed over centuries to bring his name to naught by not speaking it and replacing it with foreign titles and references. I asked a couple of people down, what is God's name? I even messaged a guy today on Facebook, not on Facebook, but on Facebook Messenger. And his name is Shiloh Ben-Hai. He's a songwriter, a singer. And I messaged him today. I want to see what he's going to say. And I asked him, I said, can you tell me, how do you say God's name? I said, because there is big controversy over his name on how it's said. So I'm waiting for his response. And I'll let you know if he does ever respond to it. I want to see what he says, because he's a Jewish guy. He's from over there. So I want to see what he responds. But this is what happened. They replaced it with foreign titles. So you ask people today, you know what God meant? God. Oh, Lord. Really? That's what replaced his name with a foreign title. Scripture said we're going to know his name. We shouldn't know his name. You should want to know your daddy's name. That's the bottom line. We're also given further insight into the revelation of the great I Am as we see being displayed or spoken through the ancient pictographic script, which renders the name of Yehovah as follows. And I told him that. I said, I know what the Hebrew letters are. I said, but I want to see, maybe he'll type out how he spells it out. That's what I want to know. In the ancient script, this is the letter Yod, which is pictured as of an arm and hand and carries the meaning of work, make, or throw from the primary function of the arm and hand, and also represents worship or giving thanks in the extending of hand as a gesture of this. This also reveals to us a stretched out arm and hand. The He, the ancient script, had the letter and is pictured as a man standing with arm raised up and out as it was pointing to something, and in essence carried the meaning of behold, as when we look at something very great. It can also have the meaning to breathe or sigh, as when looking at a great sight and having your breath taken away, so to speak. It also has the meaning of revelation or to reveal something by pointing it out. I know we all know all these, but I'm just want to read them anyway. The ancient pictographic form of this letter, the Vav, is a tent peg, is a peg or tent peg or nail, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of the Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook. In the pictographic representation of the name of Elohim, we are to able to clearly see how He, the all-existing One, reveals Himself to His creation through His outstretched arm and hand. And we see that, we see the beauty of His creation every day. I mean, if you don't see it, you got to get outside. But His creation, the beauty of His creation, is all around us. It's your spouse. More or less, it's your husband. More or less, the beauty of the world, that's the one you're sitting next to. The two pictures of the man and the peg in between them also gives us insight as to how Yehovah, would be revealed through Yeshua Messiah, who kept all his righteous right ruling and secured the covenant of promise. And in this we are able to see the two comings of Messiah. Behold, the outstretched arm of the all-existing One shall come and secure His covenant and redeem us in order to establish His house for which He is coming again. Hallelujah. How you know He's coming again? That's what the scripture says. But I can tell you, He's coming to set the record straight. You want to know the Torah? You're going to get it pure, uncut, I guarantee you're going to know His Father's name. There won't be no secrets. There ain't going to be no Holam and Kobots and all these other things. You're going to know His name. He's going to make sure you know it. Boy, I tell you, what a day that's going to be. When you get the pure milk of the Word for 1,000 years of Shalom, He's going to teach Torah. He said, you're no longer going to know war and your weapons of war. You're going to be farmers. You're going to turn your weapons into plowing material. You're going to work the land. And if you don't pay attention, if you don't go to Shabbat, He said, there'll be no rain for you. You need rain in your garden. Because look, some days it gets dry. We get dry. Without the Word, you get very dry. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bear fruit. You can't bear fruit if you don't have any nutrients you taking in. See how all this fits? If you let it, it all fit. We can't, like I said, we can't whittle the puzzle to make our own picture. Let the word say what it says. We have to fit into the word. That's the way I see it. Now, if you see something else different, please, I'll sit down and I'll hand you the mic. And I'll learn. I'll sit in the yeshiva and learn from you. But we got to fit into his word. We got to fit into his world because he created. He said he created inhabitants thereof. Everything in it. Yehovah El Shaddai was now making himself clearly known to an entire nation, calling the set apart and chosen nation according to the promise given to Abraham to know him. And what a promise that was. He told Abraham, look outside, Abraham. I can see Yahweh. Tell him, look outside. Look up. Look at all these stars. There you go sometimes some night when you look up, you see stars. Unbelievable. He said, that's how your descendants are going to be. If you can count them all, count them. Or let me take you down to the seashore. And if you can count the grains of sand, that's how your descendants are going to be. What a promise. And he said, what, the land that you walk on, that's the promise. I'm going to give it to you, all your descendants, to you and your son and your grandsons and their generation. Now you know here we are today, years later, and we're part of that generation. And if you graph it in, don't worry about it, cousin, you good. To be known by him and to know him as Jehovah clearly represent one who is obedient and guard the clear commands of Jehovah El Shaddai. Now we're getting down here. Let me see. That was all of the good stuff. Let me take a shot of water. This is where it gets a little troubling. And you know, sometimes we need to hear it. Sometimes the word is it seems so good. We're just soaking the good. We're soaking the good. But you know what? There's a Mount Ebal and there's a Mount Gerizim. And we can't forget that. So let's see what the scripture says, because this is where it's going to get a little cold. Yohanan Aleph, 1 John 2, 3-5. And by this, we know that we know him if we guard his commands. Period. You have to guard his commands to say that you know him. Because you don't know him, and you say you know him, you bring his name to naught. And let's see what the scripture says. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands, is a liar. Amen. I'm going to say it loud so y'all hear me. That way there's no mistake what I said. And those out there in the world, you're a liar if you say you know him and you don't guard his command. And the truth is not in him. But whoever guards his words, well, what do you have to do? Guard them. You have a job. You have a job to do. Truly, whoever guards his word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him, because you get better. Because you want to obey. You like what he likes, and you don't like what he don't like. You don't do things that's contrary to him. In Yohanan Allah, 1 John 3:24, and the one guarding his command stays in him. Minnow. Remember that state? That minnow. And he in him, and by this we know that he stays in us by the spirit which he gave us. He gave us that set apart spirit. That we walk in him. That we stay in him. That we guard his commands. Because if not, you are a liar, my friend. let's pause from that. Let that soak in for a minute. And let's look at John chapter 8. Oh boy, this was so good to me today.
And let's start at verse 31. Let's see what Yeshua says. Because I don't want to think everything comes from the Torah. And that's no Yeshua. So we're going to see what Yeshua says.
So Yeshua said to the Yehudim who believed in him, "If you stay in my word, you are truly my taught one." Then we just read that, kind of the same word what the Father said. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Which we were, I'm sorry, we were in the Brit Hadashah anyway. But this is, let's just look at Yeshua's word, because that was the writing of John. But let's see what Yeshua says. I'm sorry, y'all. "They answered him, 'We are the seed of Abraham and have been servants to no one at any time. How do you say we shall become free?'" See how their mind is thinking? "If they were the seed of Abraham," that's what he said. Let me keep reading. "Yeshua answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin. And a servant does not stay in the house forever. A son stays forever, but a servant doesn't. Now you can stay in his house forever, but you have to obey. We have to know the truth. Because we see, we got examples in our church right now that the servant doesn't stay forever. Why? Because they disregarded the truth. And when you disregard truth, things happen. He said, Yeshua said in first, he said, if you stay in my word, we have to stay. That's why we preach it so hard, in and out, up and down. You are truly my taught one. We have to be his, we have to let him teach us. "If then the Son makes you free," verse 36, "then you shall be free indeed. I know that you are the seed of Abraham, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." That's some strong word by Yeshua. "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Now we see a shift there. Because they were claiming, basically, that Yeshua is false. And that's what this whole problem started with. And we see that today. There's no difference. But he was up against it. But let's see how he handled it. "They answered and said to him, 'Abraham is our father.'" Oh. He taken his name to naught. "Yeshua said to them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.'" Now, when I read that, I started thinking, if I'm a New Testament believer and I got to do the works of Abraham, where are you going to go? For sure you ain't going in Matthew and go to the right. See how much we need the Torah to look at the life of Abraham? And we were so good when we went through just part of his life. We didn't go through all of it. But somebody said we don't need it. How are you going to know the works of Abraham? You do the work, you have to do his work if we are his children. He said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man," what's he call himself? "A man who has spoken to you the truth, which I heard from Elohim." He said, "Abraham did not do this." I've never seen Abraham, we read the story, I've never seen Abraham want to kill anybody for speaking the truth. That's right. This is what he's saying. He said, but you want to say that you're Abraham's seed. He is our father. Okay. We better keep on going. "You do the works of your father." Then he said to him, then they said to him, "We were not born of whoring. We have one father, Elohim." Uh-oh. All right. Yeshua said to them, "If Elohim were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from Elohim and am here. For I have not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not know what I say?" That's a good question. "Because you are unable to hear the word." You ask them a question, give them the answer. That's the reason why. And that's the reason why today, because we're in trouble today, because we don't hear the word. We just hear the speaker. See, that's the problem we get. We hear the speaker, but we don't hear the word. Because how dare he? That's what we say inside. This next verse, I'm going to make y'all laugh here. Because I was thinking, if Yeshua was a wrestler, in verse 44 right here, he would probably have that man in the camel clutch. There was a wrestler. There was a wrestler by, what was his name? He was an Iranian guy. And that was his signature move, the camel clutch. He grabbed them guys, he flipped them over, and he bent them down your back. And let me tell you, that really hurts. So if Yeshua was a wrestler, because he's going to tell him right here, you are your father, devil. Woo. Yeah. He's just showing love, I'm sure. But he's handling it correctly because we know that he's not going to sin. He will not fail, as Scripture says. So he's handling them correctly. But he used some harsh language. That's just leaving the context. And the desire of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, just one lie, think about it. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, I had to pause there for a minute because you are your father, the devil. Now, we know what Hasatan is. But he's just using this language. But that is G 12:28. Let's look at some of his tactics. The Greek word is diabolos. Diabolos. That's G 12:28. It means prone to slander, slanderous, accusing falsely. A calumniator, I should look that one up. False accuser, a slanderer. And we see today, this happens in the world today, which is a root word, diabolo. G 12:25, to throw over or across, to send over, to transduce, to culminate, slander, accuse, defame. What caught my attention was this word transduce, because you know me and my English, some words I don't know. So transduce, I had to go back and look at this word. Speak badly or tell lies about someone so as to damage their reputation. When I seen that, I see that happening in our time today. People are actually doing that. And what's sad, you got people that agree with people that do things like that on top of that. So it makes you wonder who's my friend or who's my foe. So you have to be careful. Pay attention. This is the important word, transduce. You ought to write that down. Go look at it. This is what people do today. It's the snake. I remember Brother James Sellers told a story a long time ago when I was a kid schooling up on Grand Bayou. He said there was a snake in the wintertime. I'm going to try to use my best words because that was a long time ago. But he said, a man's walking by, he sees a snake that's cold. So he said, the snake tell him, can you pick me up and put me in your pocket? I'm cold. And the man said, no, I can't do it. You're a snake. He said, but I'm cold. He said, I just need help. So the man had a little compassion on the snake, and he puts him in his pocket. And when he warmed up, you know what happened? The snake bit him. He said, why'd you bite me? He said, because I'm a snake. Told that story years ago. Because that's the snake's character. So we have to be careful. There's snakes out there today. Yes, there is. You know, they were in Yeshua's time. They're in our time. Yes. Not everybody that hugs you They're your friend. You have to be careful today. And how are you going to know? Unless the Word shows you and teaches us. It doesn't teach you to transduce people. That's what the Torah teaches you not to do. When you do these things, you are transgressing. And what he says? Let me get back to it. Anyone doing sin is a servant to it. That's what you are when you do that. You're a servant of sin. You are a liar. So if I'm ever in a company and you hear me say that, you're going to remember what I'm saying tonight. Because if he says you're a liar, you know what I'm going to say you are? You're a liar. And what he said, when you a liar since the beginning. This struck me today when I sat down reading. My wife don't know because sometimes she might see my mouth moving because I'm thinking, oh, Lord, how you want me to say it? Because sometimes this stuff's hard to say. Now, I'm sure glad Pastor's not here tonight. And nobody's going to say, well, Pastor told him to say that. Same Pastor's words. Same even my words. Right. I'm going to show you what the Scripture says. When your character acts that way, you don't see that from Yehovah. Nor should we be that way. Amen. Told you, boy, this stuff gets tough. Let's look at the lie. G5583. I'm sorry, you got to go back and listen for yourself. It means a liar. One who breaks faith. That's the second verse. The first one it says he's a liar. The second is it says one who breaks faith. And the third says a false and faithless man. And that's G5583. Now, Mike, go look it for yourself. The root word 5574, first, you I forgot how they said it. Go look it up, 5574. To lie, to speak deliberate falsehood, to deceive one by a lie, or to lie to. I don't know about y'all, but the enemy has been lying from the beginning. That's what Yeshua said. And it's just no different today. That the enemy is lying today. And look, he'll use your mama. He'll use your daddy. He'll use your brother. He'll use your sister. He'll use your cousin. I don't care. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. What Yeshua calls them. Why? And because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. Yeshua was letting them have it. Everybody said, we need a love like Yeshua. He's giving them some love here, all right, but he's setting the record straight. And that's what we need to do at times, is set the record straight. Who of you proves me wrong concerning sin? And if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of Elohim hears the words of Elohim. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of Elohim. There's some great stuff, I'm telling you, when you start digging into it. Boy, if I'd had a couple days to look at this, it's a short note, it'd probably go a little deeper. But that was just scratching a little bit right there. Look, go back home and go over this stuff. Look at these words. Because look, there's more definition. When you want to know truth, it's there. You don't have to be afraid of it. But sometimes is it tough to say? Yeah. It's okay. But who am I going to listen to? I'm going to listen to what he says? Or I'm going to listen to what the world says? And be enslaved in Mitzrayim. Or we come out of this. This is what Yeshua was trying to explain to them. So, my 10-minute card came up a couple minutes ago. So I'm going to stop right there. And we'll save some more for tomorrow. And if I'm here doing it, it's fine. And if not, Pastor will be here. I thank you all for coming out. You know, let's be in prayer.